So how you doing this 31 days ablaze? Listen, you may have experienced spiritual warfare in the context of trying to draw near to God and seeing your life, well, build up in Christ, seeing the old junk of the world, the flesh and the devil pushed out clearly and being refilled with the Spirit of God. Listen, whenever a believer stands up and makes commitment, all of a sudden, it's like the soldier putting his head up to look out over or making a declaration, I will fight. That's exactly what Peter did when he said he would die for Christ. But then Jesus warned that a war was coming their way. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Now, at that point, he had no idea of the spiritual battle that was to come in his life. Yes, he stumbled. No, he did not ultimately fall. Yes, he felt the effects and the agitation and had no idea in the beginning what was going on. But yes, just take a look at Pentecost. Take a look at the book of Acts. Look at how he became bold in Christ. Look at Acts chapter 5 when he stood there as Satan entered Ananias and Sapphira, trying to bring an infiltration and corruption to the early church. Peter stood there, bold in the Spirit's power, knowing now the authority of Christ, and with probably a word of discernment or a word of knowledge, he knew then what was going on. And there was no fear. There was no backing down. There was no suppression of spiritual warfare. He didn't creep out. He didn't sneak out. He didn't hide out. He stood there in the presence and the power of the Spirit of God. And listen, it's only those that have not taken the tools or the weapons or the instructions that Jesus gave about this warfare that I find are the ones that get beat up and cast down and thrown down and confused. Dear believer in Christ, as you are drawing near to God in the context of being filled with God's love, God's joy, the Word of God, getting stronger, deeper, and that is a great thing. Deciding to get up and say, Lord, I want to reach others for Christ. I want to be a great prayer warrior that actually gets answers that are seeable and knowable. Well, take a look at the book of Acts. That's what prayer's all about. And according to John's Gospel, chapter 15, that you and I as believers have been chosen to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Now, in the context of that, Jesus said in John 15:7, that if you abide in me or remain in me, and I abide or remain in you, well, ask whatever you wish. It'll be given for you, given to you. Now, the next verse says, this is to my Father's glory. I mean, it glorifies God to get answers. It demonstrates that we are a disciple of Jesus. Take a look at John 15 today. Take a look at verse 7 and 8. They go together. On the one hand, staying in personal, living, daily fellowship with Christ. On the other hand, letting the Word of God dwell in us. How? Believe it, obey it. That alone will propel you in development to bear fruit and more and more and more and fruit that will last. That will make you a great prayer warrior. How do you become one? It's not because you spent 24 hours in prayer. It's because you're abiding, living, dwelling in fellowship with Jesus. It's because you're letting the Word of God, by believing it and putting it into practice, dwell in your life. That's how simple, that's how clear Jesus made it. And I believe that involves the instructions that we have been given concerning spiritual warfare. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not withstand, will not prevail, will not hold back. The idea is the church is on the offensive. The church, empowered by the Spirit of God, indwelt by Christ and the Word of God, listen, given the authority of Christ, with the living oversight of Christ, the church is an indestructible. It makes it all the way to the end, although there's battles and believers stumble and some churches turn into Laodicea. It is clear that Jesus said he would build his church in the gates of hell. The epitome of the strength and force of the enemy will not prevail. The church will reach the world. Christ will come back. He said when the whole world has heard the gospel, and when he does return, well, that in prophetic insight of Scripture, that occurs. You're part of that. You are a part of prophecy. You are a part of the great mission of God. Listen, know Christ, know his presence, know his power, know his love, know his compassion, receive his mercy, be at the throne of grace, bring your fears, bring your failures, bring your hurts, bring it all, because Jesus can, well, he asks you to, and he can handle it. And from the inside out, the Spirit of God will guide you in not conforming to the patterns of the world and not letting the flesh come in. And listen, greater is the one who dwells in you. You know that in 1 John 4, than the one, Satan and all his demons in the world. So I'm going to say that we need to attack the concept of fear today. And as a believer in Christ, what we should have been taught early on as a new disciple in Christ. I think within the first 6 months when we get saved, born again, we should be taught spiritual warfare principles of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and that we have victory in Christ over all, and that that's a development. It's also a, a possession. What do I mean by that? Well, Christ in you, his promise to protect, the blood of Jesus, the new indwelling and nature that Christ gives us, the old sin nature being broken, Satan's ownership being severed. Take a look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, 13. And so when we say in Luke's Gospel chapter 10, Luke's Gospel chapter 10, very vile scripture that all early believers, newer believers, should memorize this verse. Actually, the entire chapter about praying for the Lord to bring more laborers. There's millions that need to hear the gospel. There's thousands that are demonized. There's thousands that need some healing. There are so many that are in need. And the New Agers and the cults and all the other stuff's swallowing them up by the sheer absence of the on-the-field, fired-up, obedient believers. Well, look at Philip in Acts chapter 8. I think once we commit to the mission of Jesus Christ and grow in it and become stronger in it, that literally, like Acts 5:42, they never stopped doing it. Don't stop doing it. If you've never started, take up the cross. Surrender to Christ. Step out in faith. And begin to be a part of the Great Commission. That's what Jesus said he backs and would be with to the very end of the age. Now, in the context of that, you're going to have, at times, you know, those arrows, Ephesians 6, of Satan being thrown at you, those involuntary feelings and thoughts that tell you God doesn't love you. You know, all those things that run contrary to the Word of God and truth. Yes, Satan runs around trying to devour. We're told that. We're told in 1 Peter 5, be alert. Self-control. You know, your enemy is prowling around. It tells us to stand in faith. I mean, the book of 1 John, which I urge you to read concerning spiritual warfare and learning discernment and learning truths, is that's just a great book to get down and nail down. But in the context of Jesus gathering disciples, he didn't wait 30 years later. You didn't have to read 1,000 theology books. Jesus demonstrated, you know, what it was all about. And then he took the disciples that were following him and he commissioned them to go out and preach. Well, it was about the gospel of the kingdom, the coming of the reign of God in Christ. It really is all about evangelism ultimately. Everybody's lost. Not everybody's demon possessed. Not everybody needs healing. But everybody's lost. Everybody needs Christ. That's the number one deliverance. That's the number one healing. But included in the salvation and in the work of Christ is, well, setting captives free, opening the eyes of the blind, crushing satanic works. So when Jesus takes the disciples and sends them out, well, very clearly they're out there preaching. They're out there praying for the healing. And they're out there confronting demons just like Jesus knew they would be. Now, when they returned from doing that work, and here's what I've done over the years as a trainer and as a quipper, is I've taken people out, even out of the streets, even out into evangelism. You know, I train them about winning souls, praying for the sick, casting out demons when that arrives, you know, that comes up, and giving food to people or clothing or helping in the physical needs. And when the teams come back, it's like this. Verse 17, Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." Why'd they do that? Because this was new beyond anything they've ever heard, seen, whatever else. They understood prophets and preaching and sharing, and even the Old Testament shows healing. But the Old Testament didn't have this kind of direct deliverance. Jesus has arrived. He has come to bring a complete exposure and then expelling of demonic presence and powers. So as a believer in Christ, filled with the Spirit of God, you know, on fire for the Lord, out winning souls, doing the work, well, and even in the commitment of 31 days to grow, to go deep with God, you're going to find opposition at times. And I believe that Satan would sometimes put things in your way and demons would sometimes try to back you off. The big issue is fear, distraction, preoccupation. But when you take up the cross daily, when you know to be, you know, just be persistent until you're completely consistent. Verse 18, every believer needs to know the authority of Christ, the absolute authority that God has given to you. Jesus said in verse 18, he replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning. I've given you authority." Perfect tense in the Greek. You have it permanently in your life. Many Christians don't even know. They haven't read this. There's many promises, many things we don't know by not reading and knowing. And as pastors, leaders, you know, all those who equip, if we don't teach, we're failing. Jesus said, "I have given you authority to do what? To tread, to trample, to stample, to stamp out and to crush." The idea of just putting your foot down and hearing the cracking and crushing of the work of the enemy. That authority is so great, so powerful, no different than Christ himself. "I have given you authority to trample." Now the figures of speech here, snakes and scorpions, definite references to nothing but satanic, demonic presence, demonic entities. That's what it's all about. That's how they're viewed in Scripture. Snakes and scorpions. Poisonous, lethal, sneaky. Always a danger to people. Christ gives authority to trample the demonic presence. And then he says to overcome, Nike, the idea of decisive, powerful, complete victory. To overcome all the power of the enemy. Let me stop there a moment. He didn't say some of the power. He didn't say part of the power. It's referring here to the all of the work of the enemy. See, in 1 John 3:8, the Bible says the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. He did. And he gave us authority to continue to extend that. Demon-possessed people, demon-harassed people, even believers who've opened the door to legalities, Ephesians 4, need prayers. You've got authority. Right now, in the presence of Christ, boldly, with total faith, just simply accept. Lord Jesus, I accept the authority you've given me. I accept what you have given to me as I accept all other scripture and instruction and promises. I accept right now the authority. I accept the responsibility of what that means. To know that you have been given, to accept clearly and acknowledge you have, means that you're part of a... Listen, the authority given has mission in it to trample the demonic realm, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Jesus said, and nothing will harm you. Now, if you step out and continue to be strong in the Lord, you're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And even the more you deal with the demonic side, you'll become more and more powerful. How? Listen, verse 20, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. It's not about that. It's more about salvation. It's more about redemption. It's more about relationship. Rejoice that your names are written. Your very name. I've got a letter here next to me, sent to me. A letter has my name on it. I can go to the bank and there's an account there has my name on it. I can pull out my license. There's my picture, but there's my name. Your name literally is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, is in heaven. Rejoice in your salvation. Rejoice in the security of the coming of eternal life. Rejoice that God knows all about you, that you're His. He says, Jesus Christ says, nothing will harm you. After 30 years involved with dealing with demons, I found this to be true. They'll scare, they'll scream, they'll mock, they'll cuss, they'll do things. Use the authority, and you can only use it by speaking authoritatively, ordering them, commanding them, just like Jesus did. Good example, take a look at Paul later on, Acts chapter 16. He commands the demon possessing the little girl being prostituted spiritually by others, a predictive spirit giving predictions for the future. He commands it out of her. It leaves. That's what you got to do. Whether you feel satanic oppression around you, whether you have it manifest in some person in front of you, you've got authority. You need to step to the plate. You need to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out, release her, release him, take everything with you. You know, engage. And you don't stop till everything's gone. You don't stop till the person's free. You take that authority even when they try to fight. And you take it all the way. Bring the crushing blow. Overcome the power, all the power of the enemy. Jesus said, I have given you authority in your prayer life, in your work. Dear sweet Christian, what are we waiting for?